If you've been following the news, Texas has recently had its worst measles outbreak in around 30 years. This is despite the fact that just a matter of decades ago, the US had actually declared measles completely eliminated. Whether it's the, you know, the flat earth movement or the anti-vax movement, it's almost become like trendy to deliberately be contrarian and to go against quite established bodies of evidence, even when it's readily available. And I want to introduce you to your word of the week, which is agnotology. And it's the study of ignorance, how it emerges and how it spreads. Coined by this dude here, Robert Proctor. And he was interested in the fact that we spend a lot of time talking about the knowledge that we have and the knowledge that we seek, but spend a lot less time talking about ignorance, the knowledge that we don't have and why we don't have it. And it might help you have a bit more context about why people are turning their brains off. And I think before we get into it, it's worth differentiating between ignorance and stupidity, because ignorance itself can manifest in a bunch of different forms, but it's broadly the idea of not having knowledge. And our default state as humans is to be ignorant, the stuff that we all don't know about. Ignorance can be native, it can be willful, or it can be manufactured and used against us. Some of these examples that I mentioned earlier can be a bit more contentious, but Robert Proctor focuses a lot on an example of ignorance that I think we can all agree on. The idea that cigarettes are bad for you. You know, it's not that controversial to say that smoking tobacco is not the best thing if you're health conscious. However, this is like a relatively new piece of common knowledge. If we go back just like a few decades, we can actually see what the popular discourse was around cigarettes. And I just want to show you some adverts from back in the day. I think these are bangers. Make this sensible test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days and see how well they please your taste. You'll see how enjoyable a cigarette can be. The doctor's choice is America's choice. This one is one of my favorite, which seems to suggest that cigarettes can cure cholera. They're clearly quite funny on their own, but what the tobacco companies were really trying to sell with these adverts wasn't necessarily cigarette. Instead, they were trying to manufacture doubt. And doubt is like quite a powerful tool. It's one of the great ways that ignorance is created, because ignorance isn't just something that that manifests by accident. It can be manufactured and used as a tool. There are publications from actual cigarette companies who discussed this very case, that as we were finding out that cigarettes caused cancer in rats, companies felt that they had to respond and that doubt was their most effective tool to do so. This is a quote from British American Tobacco, which is one of the big four tobacco companies. Doubt is our product since it is the best means of competing with the body of fact that exists in the mind of the general public. With the general public, the consensus is that cigarettes are in some way harmful to the health. If we are successful in establishing a controversy at the public level, then there is an opportunity to put across the real facts about smoking and health. Even today, it can be really difficult to parse out real stories from the millions of headlines that we're bombarded with daily. That's why I'm working with Ground News. They're a website and app founded by an ex-NASA engineer, and they gather news from across the world and across the political spectrum. They provide these really neat visual breakdowns of stories and help you assess things like the political bias, the reliability, and the ownership of every outlet, giving you the tools to critically compare different perspectives and helping you decide your own conclusions yourself. For example, in this story about an FDA proposed plan to reduce the nicotine levels in cigarettes, the left-leaning outlets focused more on the goals of the policy and looked at it as an effort by the FDA as an organization, whereas right-leaning outlets had a greater focus on the political challenges and specific tensions between the presidents in getting this law passed. With Ground News, you can see how many different news sources have reported on this particular story, and thanks to their blind spot feature, you're able to come across brand new stories that you might have completely missed, hopefully leading to real-life productive conversations. You can subscribe to get 40% off of their Vantage plan by scanning this QR code or by using my link, ground.news/fads. In the case of tobacco, they even went as far as like hiring Nobel laureates to carry out research that would potentially challenge the evidence that smoking caused cancer. For example, there was a scientist there who dubbed the father of stress, who was funded quite extensively by Big Tobacco in order to link cancer with stress and to take the link away from cigarettes. The magic of doing this was that if tobacco companies could link cancer with stress, then they could then modify their advertising to be like, cigarettes will chill you out. And if you're chilled out, you're not going to develop cancer. In order to create ignorance, you can do it quite easily by creating doubt. And what they're doing here is not necessarily presenting evidence, but instead creating an environment where no evidence is ever good enough. and where the burden of proof is set impossibly high. Doubt is the most important tool for defeating ignorance, but it can be weaponized in the manufacture of ignorance. I'm sure you can think of other places where this happens. And in this environment, it makes perfect sense to suggest that it's totally fine for pregnant women or newborn mothers to smoke, because the evidence is inconclusive at best. I feel like the real magic of this is that it takes things like critical thinking and not trusting any evidence at first glance, and it uses it to encourage people to be ignorant of the facts. It's not ever about actually like finding an answer, but about making sure that you don't ever really quite know what the truth is. In today's world, manufactured ignorance has found like new ways of emerging. The vast majority of people who join extremist groups on social media do so because they are recommended them by algorithms. When audiences just self-sort into information bubbles, then inconvenient facts can just disappear. Any inconvenient facts don't even have to be challenged. They can just be completely discarded. The accurate information that you would need to challenge this never even reaches the silo. But also, like, I don't want to infantilize people, because we're all active agents and we all have a role to play in the information that we consume. And ignorance isn't just something that's completely manufactured and put unto us. It's also something that we can willfully choose to engage in. And, you know, generally speaking, I feel like people don't want to feel ignorant. We want to feel educated. But the big benefit of ignorance is that it functions as like a really good identity preservation tool. In that case, rejecting information isn't just simple ignorance. It's literally protecting the kind of person that you want to be. If any of you have ever watched Behind the Curve, it's a documentary on Netflix about flat earthers. I think this is one of the best examples of this. They cover a group of flat earthers who go through the process of doing a science experiment to prove that the earth is actually flat. Obviously, the experiment doesn't work, but the failure of the experiment isn't taken as evidence. It's taken as, oh, we did the experiment wrong. Because flat earth communities are surprisingly, like, really, really tight. And a person who rejects the flat earth premise can't be a member of the community anymore. They're like expelled. It comes down to the fact that accepting certain facts would mean a change in your lifestyle, in your worldview, or your personal identity. And I think a great example of that is when we look at something like climate change. Places in the US that have stronger dependence on fossil fuels, where more people work in fossil fuel industries or fossil fuel related industries, have higher rates of climate denialism. The denial of climate change isn't because of, you know, they disagree with how we measure carbon 13 in the atmosphere. It's because to accept the evidence would mean such a fundamental change in how they interact with the world and their role in the world, their work, their family, that it's easier to just reject the facts. It makes a lot of sense that people who live in places which have depended on fossil fuels would be so much more reluctant to accept that their work has had a potential quite significant negative impact on the atmosphere. Willful ignorance specifically is a lot different to manufactured ignorance, in the sense that it seeks to preserve a fundamental identity aspect or a fundamental part of a person's lifestyle or worldview that would have to change if they were to accept this contradictory evidence. It's not really about the evidence, but rather about the actions that the evidence would entail if you were to accept it. It can be easy to kind of map it on directly to political identity. But there are a bunch of other reasons why certain communities, I feel, would have an inherent willful ignorance towards, specifically, I guess, science, which is what we're talking about here. There are groups of people who have historically had very negative experiences with science. There's the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis, which was an experiment in the US where Black people with syphilis were not treated in order to see how the progression of syphilis worked. And obviously, they died pretty horrible deaths. In Canada, we have a history of some pretty rough experiments that literally like starved Indigenous children in order to monitor the effect of malnutrition on these children. And these communities have a pretty solid reason to be distrustful of a process that normally produces reliable results, but has been weaponized against their community. If you live in Alabama and you're familiar with the Tuskegee study, you might be more willing to listen to a person like Terrence Howard than to listen to the mainstream scientific establishment, which has killed people that look like you. And to be honest, I think this idea can be like broadened to be wider, because I think more and more people feel like the government hasn't delivered, whether it's in terms of housing or healthcare or food costs, energy costs, all of those things have gotten worse for a lot of people. And it doesn't take much of a leap to take a distrust in the government's ability to provide for you and extrapolate it into institutions' ability to provide trustworthy information that you should believe. That's the logic that I think a lot of people take. I do think that if institutions haven't helped in aspects that feel more tangible to people, like the cost of living and things like that, and housing, then a lot of people will simply extrapolate that distrust of institutions into other aspects of the world and into other aspects of their lives. And to be fair, in many of these cases of ignorance, willful or otherwise, it can be a lot easier to focus your attention on like a specific threat than it is to defend like a vague public good. It's much easier for a person to comprehend the closure of a plant in their town than it is for them to comprehend the impact of like a 1.5 degree rise in global average temperatures. One of them refers to like the lives of them and their loved ones, whereas the other one is so nebulous and the story just isn't there. We don't believe in facts as much as we believe in convincing stories and narratives that we can latch onto. To be honest, when I think about what we can do about it, at least as individuals, I think we can try and engage with people in ways that don't necessarily fundamentally challenge their identity, reestablishing connection before discussing facts and identity. I think ignorance isn't necessarily beaten through facts, as we found out, but it's beaten through stories that have emotional significance, as long as people can relate to the story. I think that the difficulty is creating an environment or finding the environment in the space where you can actually share these stories is getting harder and harder, because we don't have third places where you meet people who maybe have different experiences to you or different stories to tell, which is frustrating.